Today is actually a continuation of what I mentioned on Wednesday in the invitation. And I talked a little bit about teamwork. And that's actually what we're going to be talking about this morning, is teamwork. So the reason I've really been thinking about teamwork is I've been involved in a lot of projects over the last, 21 years of working in IT. And I've really thought about things that have worked well and things that have not worked well, especially with teamwork. So this morning I'd like to start off with this verse. Proverbs 27 and 17 says, "As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another." And I said, I can't really think about a church that doesn't work together in teamwork. That's really the idea and the premise of us all coming together. As you can see with today's lesson, we're going to cover a wide array of teamwork. And even with some of the people that started the first church, about the teamwork that they had to do in order to fulfill God's will. Now, when I think of teamwork, I really like gears. So I think about how individual gears have to work together, and each piece has to be necessary. As much as I love technology and digital things, I do love watches that have gears. And just think of how complex a watch is if it's missing one gear. If one gear is not functioning with the other parts of the team, it will never keep time. That gear is so important, even though some of them might be so small, it doesn't matter. It still has to be a functioning member in order for that clock to tell time. I often think, this is kind of a business cliche, and I bet a lot of people have heard this before, is that there is no I in team. This is something that this has been in business forever, and you kind of actually get tired of hearing it. I used to work in a big office that had motivational sayings everywhere, and this was like four or five times in the building, "There's no I in team." You know, when I think about all of the projects I did in school and even at work, about working with a team, and I've worked with some teams that are very frustrating, right? Because sometimes you feel like all of the work that has been handed to you, well, that actually doesn't meet the definition of teamwork. That's actually not teamwork. It's just an individual working. But that's not to say that an individual can't be a really good worker. I work with an individual that by themselves, he is an excellent member. If I involve him in a team, he is unfunctional. Completely unfunctional. But it doesn't mean that he can't get his job and pieces done, but as soon as he's added to a team, he just does all the work and nobody else gets to say or do anything. It's just done, which is nice because as a boss, I'm like, that's fine as long as it's done. But nobody else gets to be a part of that team. They don't get to share their ideas or their pieces. Now, you probably already have thought of some other things or maybe some teamwork that you've been a part of. I'm sure if you've married or have kids, you understand how important a team is. As we were getting ready this morning, running Jacob and Emma around trying to get ready, it is teamwork. Teamwork at the best. And I was going to talk about marriage today and about how marriage is a team. However, we don't have enough time this morning, and I'm going to focus on some other pieces this morning. But that was just one of the teams that I was thinking about. So when we talk about teamwork, the idea or the definition of teamwork says the combined action of a group of people, especially when effective and efficient. So teamwork is when you're effective and efficient as a group of people, right? It kind of almost describes what the church should be. Take, for instance, this is used in a sentence, "My group has a good sense of teamwork." So let's think about that today. Let's think about that part of teamwork, because the Bible mentions multiple verses about teamwork. So let's just look in Ecclesiastes. I try not to use a lot of Old Testament references today because we're mostly going to be focusing on the New Testament. But I kind of just wanted to read this real quick because I think if Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes, he had a lot of wisdom used here, especially when it comes to teamwork. So let's look at Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. And it says, "Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor." Right? You need that other person to say, "Well done. Great job." "For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they'll keep warm, but how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and threefold cord is not quickly broken. So it talks about building a team, the importance of building this team. And I find it very interesting, the group of people that Jesus picked and selected to start the church. Because as we can see here in Ecclesiastes, it talks about working in a team and people that know the benefit of working together. That when multiple people come together, they can uplift one another. They can build up. And what better group of people to ask to follow you and help build the church better than a fisherman? So let's talk about this real quick. Let's think of this role, and let's think of who these people were. So I kind of just use this title, Fishers of Men, because they were fishermen. And as we can see here in Matthew 4, let's look at 18 through 22. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. First, you can see these two brothers are working together. Then he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. So right here we can see two cases of where they required teamwork. And immediately they left their boats and their father and followed him. So let's think about this job role, this function of fishermen. We can see that this is an enterprise job. They're not fishing for the fun of it. This isn't just having a pole and they're out fishing by themselves. This is actually collaborative work that they're doing as a business because they are fishermen. That they're not out in a boat with a pole casting a line, but they're actually out with nets dragging them and pulling fish up into their boats. Now, I have some pictures here. Some are renderings and some are actually pictures of current times of them still fishing in the Sea of Galilee. And as you can see, there's multiple people doing these efforts. This was a team job. Especially when it even came to mending their nets. I'll talk about that again here in a minute. That this is a team effort. So as Jesus is calling to these people, these fishermen understand what it takes to be able to rely on someone else. Because really that's what it is to be a team member. To rely on someone else. Because if you are just out fishing for sport, you may not really have to rely on somebody unless you catch a really big one and you need a net or help getting into the boat or something like that. We think about it as a relaxing sport. But they were doing this for a living. This was their job. They were fishing for a living. Because we know it took teamwork. Because as I mentioned already, that they were out working together. So it took teamwork. In Mark 1 and 19 it says, "When he had gone a little further from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were both in the boat mending their nets." Now, mending their nets could be very, very important, right? Because if you have holes in your nets, your fish are going to get away. And mending their nets is very important. It also takes a lot of teamwork to untangle and mend those nets. Also in Luke 5 and 2, "And they saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone from them, and they were washing their nets." This was constant work. Constant work to catch the fish, constant work to mend their nets, and constant work to wash their nets, to get them ready. So they did this together. They did this as a part of teamwork to make sure that they could earn a living and have food. I do find it interesting that later on in the Bible, especially when it talks about mending their nets and things like that, in Ephesians because it talks about us being joined and knit together. I don't know if that's a direct relationship, but I just thought it was interesting to talk about teamwork and mending their nets, but that's how it talks about us as Christians, about coming together. Because in Ephesians 4, 1 through 16, it says, "And he gave himself some to be apostles, some to be prophets, and some to be evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to be a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of his fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of the doctrine, but the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness and deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body," us as Christians, "joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, cause growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." I think about this, about the church coming together and working together. Not only are we doing it for our own salvation, but we're doing it for each other's. About this work that we come together to do, that we can't do it individually. We have to do it as a group. Because we know the church was established by Jesus. In Matthew 16 and 18 it says, "And I also say to you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." We know that Christ was establishing his church. And in Acts 2 and 47 it says, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." Who adds to the church? It says that God adds to the church. And we know that we are members of a church. Now we know the members of the church here gathered together to build this facility. And you can see that around the world. That when Christians come together, they need to complete a common goal. And maybe a common goal might be building a church building. You don't have to have a church building. It's just one of the things that we have. And I think it's interesting that we get a group of Christians together. They can complete just about anything. Not too long ago, we built this facility. But that's nothing new. Take, for instance, this happens all over the United States, all over the world. All over the world, these facilities, again, you don't have to have a facility. I'm just referring to this as just something that Christians gather together and do. I just picked this one, for example, because this one was built in 1807. It had since moved in 1976. But I just thought it was interesting that there's a historical marker on it about it being built in 1807 because a group of Christians gathered together and they realized that they needed a place to meet. Now, this is not to be outdone by our friends in Kentucky, because that building is actually still standing, built in 1791. The Church of Christ in Paris, Kentucky. If you're ever driving through Paris, Kentucky, stop by and see it. They actually built a stone building around this one. But they actually, there's a Church of Christ that still meets in there from 1791. And they actually still use the facility and everything. It's very interesting if you get a chance to read about it. Now, I'm just mentioning this because just a group of people realized that they needed to build a place that they could come together. That they could come together and have a place to meet. Now, it's not to say that we couldn't do that in homes and not to rent out a place that we could go and meet together, because us meeting together as the church is the important part. Because we see this here in Hebrews 10, 24 through 25. "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." We need to do that for one another, to stir up love and good works. I think it's interesting that this language is used here, because normally when you hear the term stirring something up, it's normally in bad connotation. Like, you know, normally people stir something up. You're like, oh no, what happened? Something was stirred up. I got to fix it. Right? But this talks about stirring up love and good works. I recently read a quote, I don't know who it was by, But it said, you want to be popular at work? Say good things behind people's back. And I thought, hey, you know, that's a pretty good saying. But I thought of it with this, because we're to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. That's why I use those images of those meeting places, because they came together and decided that they need to put something together so they could gather together. As in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and as much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, I have a good feeling that the day approaching here is when Jerusalem was destroyed, just with Hebrews just kind of going along with history. So we know that there was something getting ready to happen, and they were going to have to use a lot of teamwork to get through this time. However, as we can see here, that this is what we are to do when we are to come together. We are to stir up love and good works. Again, I find it interesting that this language is used, because we are to stir up these things. Now, we can see with setting up the church, this was something very important. That us, not only as individuals, but as a team. For instance, if we didn't work as a team, we wouldn't be able to get together and have prayers, sing songs, do the Lord's Supper. We wouldn't be able to do that together. And we know that that's what the church was established to do. So setting up the church, let's look here in 1 Corinthians. Let's start here in verse 10 of chapter 1. Now it says, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that are no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in same mind and in same judgment." I don't see how this could not be completed without teamwork. We can't come together and one person do one thing and one another. That's not acting as a team. "For it has been declared to you, me concerning you, my brethren, for those of..." I had that name in my head, now it just left me. Joel's house, "that are contentious among you. Now I say that each of you say, I am of Paul, or I am Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul?" So he's talking about divisions among them, about other people were saying that they were baptized of other people. It doesn't matter. It just matters that they are coming together for Christ. We can see that this was causing some problems in this letter here to the Corinthians, that they should be gathered together for that one mind, that one instance. Because we know that we are just members of one body. Just to kind of put our minds together to this, because this is kind of here in closing, I'd like to read 1 Corinthians 12:12-31, because this talks about members of one body, about the importance of us coming together today. "For as the body is one, and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slave or free, and all have been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not of the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not the only of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need for you. nor again the head to the feet. I have no need for you. For much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. I think of this often. You know, I took a couple biology classes, and I remember my teacher talking a lot about your little toe, about how it's such a small member of the body, but yet if we were to cut it off, we'd probably fall over a lot more often because of how important that is to stand, about how important we use that to walk. And we think about losing that, about how unstructured our body might be. You think of that with the church. Each member is important for this teamwork. And those members of the body which we think to be lesser, honorable on those that we bestow greater honor, and our unrepresented parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. For God composed the whole body, having given great honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. For its one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. That there should be no schism in the body, but rather the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, the others will rejoice with it. Apparently, I copied that back over on the same slide. Now, you are the body of Christ and the members individually. I couldn't think of a better verse to use when talking about teamwork. About when we come together, what we are to do. That we are to work as a team. We're to work as a team to help others get through hard times. We are to work as a team to praise one another when good things happen. That when a part of the body hurts, it hurts us all together. And if that's not happening, we need to think, are we acting as a team? Are we acting as a true church? Are we acting how we should? Because again, with the definition of teamwork, the combined action of a group of people, especially when effective and efficient. I can't think of a better definition than what I just read. From what we just read in 1 Corinthians 12 about the idea of teamwork, coming together and working together. I have seen a lot of great things happen with just a few people. Now, we may say that we are few here in numbers, but as long as we work together as a team and do what God asked us to do, isn't that the important part of what we are to gather together as Christians? We think of being a part of that one body, about that one group together, to be efficient and effective. And if you would like to be a member of that team, it was stated there in 1 Corinthians about the importance of baptism, about coming together to be a part of that team, about being called a Christian, to be working and effective. If you would like to become a member of that team, please come forward as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.